As I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to give the rest of the morning to the Maddens. We were in Bible school together, knew them a little bit, didn't know a lot about them, but over the course of the years, just stayed in touch from a distance, and they're going to be in Southern California, has some friends up in Ramona, and so they're going to be preaching with us here, and then next week at some friends' church up in Orange County, and they just said, hey, we're going to be in the area, and we, you know, is there an opportunity? And we just said, sure, let's go. And so we got a chance to be reacquainted last night, and just, you know, it's interesting when you get around people whom you haven't even, you don't quite know as well as you might think you want to know, and you get around, it's like the same spirit. Come on, everybody. You get around people, the same spirit. An iron is sharpened an iron. You're being refreshed. If you've been around some people and you leave and you're dragged and drugged, and come on, don't get drugged around people, but come on. But you're around them and it's like you're emptying the tank constantly and never refreshed. Those are tough people to be around. But you get around other people and they just keep pouring into you and you just kind of feel, wow, I'm glad I know you. And they're doing a phenomenal job. They started a church in Nice in France, back pastored it for 33 years or so, turned it over to their son-in-law and daughter, and they're doing a phenomenal job increasing that church. They've got Bible schools in France, a Bible school in Switzerland. How many know that just seems like the will of the Lord right there? And if you know anything, maybe Pastor John will share a little bit, but France is being, you know, the population of France is changing more towards the Muslims. And so if you're going to have a church in France, you better have a vision on how to evangelize the Muslims. And they're seeing healings, they're seeing miracles at the end of the service. We believe Laura will have an opportunity and pray for some of you, all that need healing. They've seen phenomenal miracles of healings in people's bodies, drawing people to Jesus. Come on, if he'll heal your body, he'll save your spirit. Come on, everybody. And so it's just a dinner bell for what they're seeing over in France and over in Europe and the nations around there, other French-speaking places of the world that Africa is as well. And so, come on, would you just stand up and give honor and give a warm Spectrum Church greeting to the Maddens? We love you. Glad you're here. Come on, we can clap a little bit better than that. Yeah. Glad you're here. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. One, two. Yeah. Wow, you're a good-looking crowd. So I'm from England, okay? Just have to apologize to start with. You'll get used to my accent as we go on. But I'm absolutely thrilled to be with you. Love the worship. I've been watching you online the last three services that you had because just wanted to be in line with what you're doing. And love this vision. Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Hallelujah. You can sit down a minute. This is my bride of 43 years. She came to England to study with a study abroad program and just happened to be in the same city, little city of Birmingham, England, not Alabama. 2 million people. It was the second city of England. And we met in a store. And she was looking for fellowship. I wasn't looking for anything. Actually, I was looking for Moosely to make cereal. I'd been back in town an hour and a half, had been on missions in France, well, in Belgium and Switzerland, and she invited herself to my house when she found out I was a Christian. Yeah. Anyway, today is a special day because I looked up in my agenda, and 44 years ago today, I was in prayer, and God said, I'll give you a wife. And I'd met her, and we were friends, but she told me she had a boyfriend, so it was safe. I was kind of safe, so we made friends. In fact, we became almost best friends, and then God said, I'm going to give you a wife. And my first thought, it can't be Laura. She's an American. And God had just called me to France, and I thought something which wasn't true. Have you ever believed something that wasn't true? I believe that the French didn't like Americans. That is not true. The French love Americans. They don't like English. We had a 100-year war with the French, okay? Fortunately, I didn't know that. But anyway, 44 years ago, God said he'd give me a bride. 17 days later, I asked this young lady to marry me. 6.5 months later, we were married. She knew if she said yes. And I was quite surprised. She said yes, she'd be going to France because I'd shared France with her. But we're thrilled to be with you. I'll give her a moment. She does have a very strong healing anointing. And I like to say this before we start to minister. If you need healing in your body, while I'm preaching, and I got a message, okay? I have a great message for all of you. But if you need healing in your body, if you just like to get ready to receive, she's not going to pray for anybody. She'll lay hands on you. Okay, we're not going to counsel, we're not going to pray. She'll just lay hands on you, and you can receive. And she's already said that she's received several words of knowledge. So you can come forward when she gives those. So at the end, we'll be praying for those that need healing, okay? If you're not ready to receive, don't come forward. We've made the mistake, and it doesn't help our faith to go forward to see if somebody's got something for us. We can't do that. We hurt our faith. But if you get yourself ready while I'm preaching, okay, you can come forward and receive. You want to share?
You know, God is a good God. He is so faithful. You know, I just want to tell you, there's a place for you. And right now your season is here. Be faithful in little things. God will open doors because there's people who are hurting, who are hungry, and who need you. With your accent, with your mannerism, and with who you are. Not somebody else, they need you. And that's why it's so important that you have fun being who God made you. I am really loud. I am extravagant. I love being seen. If I go somewhere and I'm not noticed, I don't bother to go. I know I'm a miracle going someplace to happen. I've got the greater one that lives inside of me. And that power of God, he confirms it with signs and wonders. And that's how we built our church. France is the size of Texas with 37,500 towns and villages. Most people live in a little town. And there's 36,000 towns and villages with no gospel preaching church. I'm not saying there's not a Catholic church there, but now most of the people aren't even going to the Catholic church because there's a hunger and a famine in the land, not for bread and not for wine in France, but for the knowledge of the Word of God. So what we did, I went to France and I had one verse. Jésus-Christ est le même hier, aujourd'hui et éternellement. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we knew we were going to have revival in 6 months. Well, we're still having fun, but we, you know, and God touched people's lives. I could sing after 3 days, because you know, when you sing, you hook it up from your heart. You sing from your heart. I could sing. The presence of God had come down, but I couldn't ask for a cup of coffee. That was too many words to put together. And John once let me use an interpreter before we started the church, and he said, never again, because you have to learn to speak French. So it's like being hogtied and gagged. Everybody thought I was so calm and so quiet. It's just I didn't know how to say anything. And when I learned to talk, they were pretty shocked. And I learned to talk by teaching children's church because we started a church. There was John and myself and three women. And so we started teaching them. We taught them to teach that God loves you. Jesus has paid the price for you. All you have to do is accept the free gift and your life will be changed. And they started winning people for Jesus. And they'd bring them to church, and we would lay hands on them, and God would heal them, not me. Because people tried to pay you in France for a new healer. There's how many thousands of people? There's about 30,000 people who make their living, you know, who are into fortune telling, divine, you know, cards, things like this. There's 2,500 Christian workers that make their living by the gospel. The numbers are not the same. The French people are not gospel hardened. They're gospel ignorant. And if you aim for their head, you've lost it before you started. But if you aim for their heart, you win them. And you show them a demonstration of the power of God. You know, for example, our butcher. I love a good steak. But the steaks aren't American-sized steaks. They're 180 grams. They're, you know, really tiny and really thin. And so John would we get steaks on Tuesdays and have French fries, because that's a French typical meal, steak frites. And so John would go to the butcher, he'd call from church and say, I want 5 steaks at 180 grams, and then we're going to come pick up. There's a tiny little boutique. And anyways, John went in to see the butcher, and he said, Gilbert, what's wrong? And he said, oh, I had an operation. You know, he picks up these big slabs of meat, and he's been a butcher since he's 15 years old. He said, and it didn't work. And John said, I'm really sorry. Goes, gets in the car, and he said, Laura, Gilbert's sore. He's had an operation that didn't work. So I jump out of the car. I've never met Gilbert, because I always sit in the car when John goes in to get this piece of steaks. Run in the car. I go, Gilbert, I heard that you had an operation that didn't work. He said, oh, yes, and it's very sore. I said, Gilbert, can I pray for you? Now, he thinks I'm going to go in a church building and light a candle. That's how you pray when you're Catholic. I was raised Catholic, so I know I lit a lot of candles in my day. So I went in, and I held out my hand, and he thought I'm just going to say goodbye. So I grab his hand, and I go, Gilbert, be healed in the name of Jesus. Pain, go. Amen. Goodbye. And, oh, no, show him how much you love him. And I go back in the car. A week later, John goes back in to get our steaks again, and Gilbert says, I'm healed. And then he gave us steaks at a less price with a better cut of meat. You know, God's got a practical side about it. And I want to encourage you guys, delight yourself in the Lord. He loves you. He wants to hear your voice. You know, people sometimes when you're in America, you can think, I'm a nobody because I'm not a famous rock star or anything. But you're famous in God's eyes. And he loves hearing your voice. Now, we live in the most beautiful place in the world. San Diego is nice, but Nice is nicer. It's the playground for the rich and famous. It's between Cannes and Monte Carlo on the French Riviera. And when God called us there, the first time I went to Nice, we were on our honeymoon, we went through, and I said, don't stop. I come from a small town. I'm a Hoosier. I was born in Indiana, lived there 1 year, lived in Illinois till I was 8, and then northern Minnesota. So I've been delivered from the snow. I can look through the palm trees from our living room and see the snow on the mountains an hour and a half away and think, I've been delivered. You know, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I didn't know I didn't want snow. I'd always lived with snow. But now it's so nice. So when I go to Switzerland, I can see the snow. If I want to go to the snow, I can go an hour and a half and be skiing. But I can stay there and have fun. And it's so fun because Nice, like I said, is the playground for the rich and famous. We have the second airport after Paris. 11 million people went through our airport. And it's a small airport. It's 15 minutes from the house. 8 out of the 10 jets that land there are private jets. So you're talking people with lots of money. But I'm talking about a person who's got a big God on the inside. And so we've talked to people from Prince Albert to all kinds of people. And God shows up. And God's going to show up when you guys open your mouths. So everybody say, thank you, Jesus. I've got a mouth, and I know how to use it. You said, open my mouth, and I would fill it. And I say, I'm not embarrassed of the gospel. And I demonstrate the gospel. Because God, you confirm that word with signs and wonders. In Jesus' name, I thank you. I'm a miracle going someplace to happen. I'm a nightmare for the devil. Because I believe the word of God. I read the word of God. I say the word of God. I meditate the word of God. And you manifest the word of God.
Hallelujah. My favorite title is the husband of the hat lady. That's what they call me in France. It's great. The husband of the hat lady. If you can't see the hat, listen, you'll hear the laugh. So my title is for the message that God's given me for you. And I've been just, we actually didn't ask whether we could preach. We asked if we could get together with your wonderful pastors. And they invited us to preach because I wouldn't do that. We just wanted to get together with them. But we're thrilled to be here. But since they asked us, I said, so what do you want me to say? And this is the title of my message for you, saying yes to God's plan. Have you said yes to Jesus? Have you said yes to God's plan? Could you ask your neighbor a minute, have you said yes to God's plan for your life? Because I thought I'd finished my message, and this morning I heard something else, because Some of you said yes many, many years ago to Jesus, and you invited him into your life. And like me, you can say, Jesus has changed my life. Is that true for some of you? Has he changed your life? Okay. So I did that 50 years ago. January, 27th of January, 1974, I asked Jesus into my life. I'd never been in church in my life. My two older sisters had got saved in a youth group. I went to the youth group for the first time I heard the gospel, and I said yes to Jesus. But that's not enough. We have to keep saying yes. And the Lord said to me to tell you, your best days are in front of you, not behind you. That's what he told me to tell you. Because some of you are getting older in your body. I celebrated 65 years this year, okay? So I'm a very young man. You know how you stay young? My wife is 21 every year. Okay, now we didn't meet at Bible Training Center like your pastors. We were already married, okay? So we've been married 43 years. So you say, how can you possibly be married 43 years if she's only 21? It's called higher maths. We're trying to explain this to our granddaughters because we have two children and we have three grandchildren, and our granddaughters are 10 and 7, and they don't understand how their mommy can be 38 and their grandma, who they call mom, is 21. We say it's higher maths, okay? We're going to talk about saying yes to God. And the verse, the key verse that God has given me, and I'm sure you know it, or many of you know it. Perhaps I shouldn't say I'm sure you know it, but in Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Some versions say the best of the land. Okay, and you were talking about all that great Mexican food. We live, you're right by the border here to Mexico. We're 30 minutes from Italy. And we live in France, which those two countries have some of the best food in the world, okay? Have you got your Bible with you? In paper Bible, or you've got a smartphone, or you've got an iPad or a tablet or something, yeah? Yeah, would you like to lift it up? Would you like to shake it a minute? That scares the devil. If you've been scared by the devil, it's time for you to take your Bible in hand and scare him. And say this with me, because I like to say this every time I read the Bible. I say this, when I read my Bible, God speaks to me. Can we say that again? When I read my Bible, God speaks to me. And I don't know if you need God to speak to you, but I do, and every day. So for 50 years now, I've read my Bible every day. Why? Because you haven't got through it? No, I've got through it several times. But I keep reading because I heard this, that revelation is progressive with God. Things I couldn't understand yesterday, I might understand today, but I need to hear from God every day, not from time to time. So I want us all to say yes to God's plan for our life. So we went to France. My wife heard when we were in Bible school that we should go to Nice. She was the one who said not to stop on our honeymoon in Nice because it was too big, 340,000 people, too hot. She got a sunburn. From northern Minnesota, she has an Irish German heritage and an American Indian English heritage. She got a sunburn, she said, I don't even want to stop. And she hears from God, go to Nice. I said, you've heard to go to Nice. Okay, we'll go. No one was waiting for us. We didn't know anybody. Crazy, don't do what we did. Do what God tells you to do. That's a word from the Lord. Sometimes we want to copy others, and then we say, why doesn't it work? Don't copy others. Be encouraged by what others do, but do what God has told you to do. That was probably the most freeing word I heard at Rhema when we were there, because we were born again during the charismatic revival, which was an amazing time. From 68 on, people were getting saved and filled with Spirit all across the world, but there were some problems, and one of the problems, everybody wanted to tell you what you should do with your life. Was anybody there? Do you remember every moment you showed that you had a bit of get up and go? Yeah, it's probably the best thing to say. I'm used to speaking French, okay? Sorry, it's easier in French now. Bit of get up, people start prophesying, you should do this and you should do that. And I got so fed up with it. I had to be nice to people, thank you very much. But fortunately, God had called me to France. So if it doesn't concern France, I'm not going. And then we got to Rhema and we heard this word. Go do what God has told you to do. And it was like, that was so freeing for me. Sometimes just a simple word sets you free. And I want to tell you, do what God's told you to do. In France, we have a saying that those that counsel you don't pay your bills. But I'll tell you another thing. Those that prophesy on you, they don't pay your bills either. Yeah, and when things are hard, it's really good to know that you heard from God. And it wasn't easy. If people see, watch our ministry now, we celebrated 40 years, the 18th of September of this year. We celebrated 40 years since we arrived in Nice. And it was very tough. And there are a lot of people that didn't like us. And we went through some very hard times. But if you look at the ministry today, it's like, wow. Yeah, we pastored for 33 years, handed the church over 7 years ago. It's tripled in number since then. We've had up to 5 Bible school campuses. We have 3 at the moment, 150 students. We've trained 400 nationals. We're working with others in Quebec, in Haiti, in Congo, Africa. We're going to open schools in 34 French-speaking nations, 11 French territories. I mean, God spoke to us. You see, because when you're faithful with God, he'll give you something else to do. And we thought we were just going to plant a church, so we started planting a church. Then God started speaking to us about the fact there were no teaching books. No teaching books in France. And we came from a teaching ministry. It's like, what are we going to do? God said, translate them. Well, we were totally incapable. Neither of us are linguists, okay? So God sent us some linguists to work with us. And up to date, we've translated and printed 58 books. And 35 of them are on audiobooks now. 3.5 million have been listened to. I did put some cards at the back of the church. If you'd like to get one, it's totally egocentric, because most people put this on their fridge and then pray for us. So if you'd like to pray for us, but there's some pictures, and we would love your prayers. And also we put 3 books that our students did. They do a kind of album. We put them together. The French aren't very good at working together, so we make them work together on projects. And one of the projects is an album. So there's 2 from Switzerland and 1 from Paris. You go and look at those. Please don't take them away. But when you obey God and do what he calls you to do, he'll give you something else to do. And then if you keep listening, he'll give you people to work with you, because you can't do it alone. I mean, I came early this morning because I love church. Okay, when you're not brought up in church, anyone else wasn't brought up in church? Never went to children's church in your life? I never went to children's church. I love it. I mean, I walk downstairs to see the children's church, and I just love walking around and seeing all the faithful people who are here at 9 o'clock, and it's like, God's added such faithful people to you. And the Bible says a faithful man or faithful woman is richly blessed. That's the word for some of you. We're richly blessed. And so God added to us translating books, and then he added to us training nationals. And now we travel around. I preached twice this year in our church, twice last year. We totally handed over all authority, all responsibility, and our salary. It was quite fun. My wife thought I'd gone mad again. Because we left the States with good salaries. We were doing good. And we left and had nobody waiting for us. And, what, $25 promised support. So that was what we went to France with. And as I said, don't do what I did. Do what God's told you to do. Because what God's told you to do will work. That doesn't mean to say, like Laura said, we really believe we're going to have revival in 6 months. That 6 months has been 40 years now, and we're seeing it. And like you said, yeah, we're seeing Muslims come to the Lord. It's great. But France is a very Catholic country, and Laura came from a Catholic background, so she understands. And we have a great passion. You have to love the people around you. I mean, you're here in California with all the people. Well, the rest of the world says all the crazies come from California. Is that so? Yeah? All of them. So that means you as well. But you can be crazy for God. I mean, I know, Laura and I, we're crazy. I mean, people find us very weird, but we're weird for God. And it's wonderful, but we're crazies. But those people, you have to love them. You can't win people you don't love. And we never pray against people. We always pray for people because they need our love. They need our help. God has been so good to us. Have you said yes to the plan of God? I have this feeling inside, and I've had it since I've been preparing, that some of you know what God's calling to do, but you haven't yet said yes. And there's no anointing, and there's really no grace until you say yes. It's time to say yes to Jesus. Laura and I, we're having a wonderful journey. So many people are scared of when you get to our age, and it's like, you know, you're talking about retirement, and it's a great change. The best is yet to come. God has got so much more for you. When I was young, 60 was old, and people died at 70. Today, 60 is young, 60, 70 is young. People live into 80s. Here in California, you probably live in 90s, yeah? People live into the 100s. So do we just stop? So we vegetate a bit? It's wonderful. You've worked all your life. Ask God, what's next? The best is yet to come. But you have to say it. Now, did you listen? Were you here the last 3 weekends? Believe, stand, rejoice. Yeah, if you weren't here, you've got to listen to those messages. They're awesome. Now, I haven't heard your pastor preach before. Those are awesome messages. So you need, if you haven't listened to, go online, go on YouTube and listen to them. And please, would you do something? Share. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, subscribe to it and then share it with all your family and friends, all the people you love. Because once you've listened to it, you think, I got to share this with other people. It was amazing. I got so blessed. So if you find me from time to time online, I'll chat, okay? Yeah, I love your pastor's preaching. It was awesome. Yeah. But sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are because he's always been here, and he's always been here. You know, you're extremely blessed, and your worship is wonderful. I led worship for almost 40 years, and I played violin when I was young, and I played guitar, and I loved to sing, but wow, you've got great worship. Great, great, great worship. So I want to do something with you, but I need a keyboard player. Where's he gone? We lost the keyboard. Well, we can start. Okay. French lesson. Who did French in school? Anybody do French in school? One person. Wow. You want to come and help? No, I'm kidding. So I want to teach you a song in French. Not very many words. Here it goes. Listen to the words. Je dis oui, oui, oui. Anybody guess what oui means? So you do know French. Okay. Anybody know what je dis means? No, je dis. I say yes, yes, yes. Hey, there you go. I didn't get your name. Leo, hey, isn't he a great keyboard player? Oh. My little brother is a great keyboard player. You have a great keyboard player. So it says like, it goes like this. Je dis oui, oui, oui. Je dis oui, oui, oui. Je dis oui, Seigneur. Now that's easy if you speak Spanish. Seigneur is? Seigneur, which is in English? Lord. Is he your savior? To get saved, he needs to be your savior. But you know, to live fully this life, he has to be your Lord. And two words do not go together. No and Lord. You cannot put those two words together. Why? Because if you're saying no, he's not your Lord. That's a word for somebody. If you're saying no, he's not your Lord, you have to say, oui, Seigneur. Je dis oui, oui, oui. You want to learn? Very simple, okay? So just listen. Je dis oui, oui, oui. Je dis oui, oui, oui. Je dis oui, Seigneur. Je dis oui, Seigneur. Je dis oui, oui, oui. You want to try? This is your French lesson. There'll be an exam paper outside at the end. No. Sing with me. You want to stand? You sing better standing up. Je dis oui, oui, oui. Je dis oui, oui, oui. Je dis oui, Seigneur. Je dis oui, Seigneur. Je dis oui, oui. Go very fast. Oui. Je dis oui, oui, oui. Je dis oui, oui, oui. Je dis oui, Seigneur. Je dis oui, Seigneur. Je dis oui, oui, oui. And we're going to do it one more time, okay? But now you've learned it. Now I want you to sing it from your spirit. In French, you're going to say, yes, Lord. I don't know what he's saying to you. And maybe he hasn't said it yet because you haven't said yes yet. And I find you have to say yes often before he'll even tell you. Because he doesn't want to tell you and you get scared. He wants to tell you because you said anywhere, anytime, with anyone, I say yes, Lord. You are Lord of my life. Okay? Thanks, Leo.
Je dis oui, oui, oui. Je dis oui, oui, oui. Je dis oui, Seigneur. Je dis oui, Seigneur. Je dis oui, oui, oui.
Thank you so much. You can sit down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. Laura and I have a saying. We used to pray it, and we used to say, I want to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people, with a good attitude and the full provision. But after a while, we said, we can't say that anymore. We said that enough. We have to say we are always in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people, with a good attitude and with a full provision. What are you saying? What are you saying? Oui, Seigneur? I hear a lot of Christians saying, it's too hard. I can't do it. I'm all alone. Did you have those singles put up their hand last week? They weren't very excited about it. Was that last week? Yeah, you have to stop saying you're alone, singles, because nobody wants to marry someone who's alone. I haven't been alone for 50 years. You know why? Because I invited Jesus into my heart and my life. And you're not alone, and you've got, because, you know, lonely people don't attract other people, or you attract another lonely person, then you become a lonely couple. And I've met some lonely couples, and Jesus is the answer. You know, we don't marry someone to be our Messiah. Well, Laura didn't save me, and I didn't save her. Jesus saved us. And we were so full of God, oh, I was so attracted by this person. Didn't realize I was going to fall in love with her and marry her, but because she loved Jesus and she was just so full of life, and evidently she saw that in me too. But we're not alone. So don't stop saying I'm alone. You can say I'm full with God. In fact, you may have to buy a minibus. You don't call it a minibus. You call it a van here, don't you? You might have to buy a van, because with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then all the angels, I don't know how you're going to get around. But you are not alone. And we got to stop saying that. We can't say no one cares for me, because there's someone who died. You know, when you ask God, how much do you love her? He goes like this, I love you this much. He died on the cross for you. No one cares, that's not true. He cares, and he's interceding at the right hand of the Father for you. Because I hear people, no one prays for me. That's not true. What are you saying? I'm dumb. Really? My Bible says that the intelligent man or woman seeks God. Just the fact that you're here today, just the fact that you open your Bible, and those that are watching, the fact that you're with us and you open your Bible, you're seeking God, you're not dumb. We're some of the most intelligent people on the planet. We may not be the most academic, or maybe we don't have all these titles and things, but that's not important, because all these people who are famous and they have all these titles, some of them just can't seem to get life together at all. So you heard the message, believe, stand, rejoice? Are you doing it? Because hearing it's not enough. Pastor, you preached a good message. He doesn't want to hear that. He wants to hear, Pastor, I'm putting that into practice. Yeah? And we need to believe, and we need to stand, and we need to rejoice, and then rejoice, and then rejoice, and rejoice, because what God has said, he will do. Be the next in line for a miracle, because you're rejoicing and not complaining. In the desert, 40 years they wandered in the desert because they didn't say yes. They said, we can't do it. God set them free from slavery, but they still had a mentality of slaves. And they said, let's go back. It's better we go back. Let's name a chief, a new leader, and go back. These things were written in the Bible to show us how not to do it. And Caleb and Joshua said, we can do it. Our son's name is Caleb. Caleb and Joshua said, we can do it. Our God is more than able. And you've got to know that God in you is more than able. If you had to do it alone, and Moses said, I won't go with you. I won't go unless you come with me. And God said, oh, I didn't send you. I won't want to send you alone. He didn't send Laura and John alone. There was no one waiting for us. But God sent us. Hallelujah. What is God telling you to do? The willing and the obedient eat the best in the land. One of the major verses that we stood on, our whole ministry has stood on, is John 10:10. Do you know John 10:10? Maybe we should open our Bibles, because it's great I brought a Bible up here, but even better if we open it, isn't it? Read your Bible every day. If you want to be strong, and you want to do exploits, you want to hear from God, when I read my Bible, God speaks to me. New King James says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. Let's not confuse what God does and what the devil does. Things that come to steal and to kill and destroy are from the devil. Got a lot of confused Christians today. Jesus said, I have come. And someone said, if you want to know what God wants to do in your life, look at Jesus. Jesus said, he who's seen me has seen the Father. What did Jesus, bring sickness on people? No, he set them free. Yeah, he set people free from a bondage, from people who were possessed. He was always lifting people out of the dirt. He was never condemning. The others were condemning. He was lifting them out. Neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. Please have a lot of grace on people that are living in sin. Love them. But with yourself, don't give yourself any grace to sin. Sin separates us from the love of God, and it separates us from the blessing of God. And we have to learn, I think it's Titus says, teaches us to say no to sin. We are all tempted. But the more you say no, the least effect that temptation will have. And in fact, after 50 years, there's some things that tempted me, and I fell into sin a lot as a young Christian. What do I learn? Saying no and no and no. Today, those things don't even tempt me. I haven't arrived to sinless perfection. I don't think we can in this life. But wow, am I doing better? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the way, we have to walk on it. We don't want to go backwards. We want to go forwards. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly, or to the full. And we based all our ministry on them, that Jesus came not only into the earth, but he came into our lives to give us life to the full, overflowing. Now, in France, we talk about a cup being half full and half empty. Do you just talk about that in the people who always see the cup half full and always complaining, always murmuring? And the other guys who see all, you know, positive thinking. No, it's half full. God's cup isn't half full or half empty. How's God's cup? Overflowing. Do you like Psalm 23? I think it's the favorite psalm of almost everybody, but have you been there recently? Could I ask you to have a visit this week? I was a pastor for 33 years. I always gave homework. I hated homework in school. I felt I was being punished. It was a punishment. But you say, as a pastor, I never punished anyone with homework. I always gave them something I knew would bless them. Would you reread Psalm 23? Because he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. I want to get to verse 5. Because he says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. And we all have enemies. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He says, he gives me a feast in presence of my, you honor me by anointing my head with oil. And then he says, my cup overflows. And I've done it several times, but pastors don't really appreciate it, and the cleanup team don't either. I get a cup, and I get a bottle, and I say, it's half full or half empty. Because, you know, some people think we're preaching positive thinking. We've got so much more than positive thinking. We've got a Savior who died for us. He died on a cross. He didn't come to make us better. He came to change us from within. Yeah? And then I just keep filling. And they go, he's going to do it. He's not going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to not do it. And I just keep going until it pours everywhere. So I've stopped doing that because people get upset with me. Especially all the people in the church that have a mercy gift. They come running up with cloths and think I made a mistake. But that's what God wants to do with your life. He wants your life to be so full of joy, of peace, of love, that it's overflowing. And the devil wants you to look at all the problems, all the situations, and to be crying about them and saying, my God is bigger than this, and we're going to solve this, and we're going to move the mountain, and we get to the other side, and God has something for me. It doesn't matter what other people are saying about you. And maybe they said some horrible things about you. I grew up in the British educational system, and it's not very good. It's not very positive. It's not very encouraging. French system is even worse. Our daughter came to study in Memphis and then in Tulsa, her 3 years of high school. I know you do four, but she did three. One of my English friends asked her, what's the difference between the French system and the American system? And she said, without hesitating, she was 17 between her... when she came back, she'd done a year. So she was 16 or 17. Yeah, maybe she was 16. She said, I have the impression that my American teachers want me to succeed. You know what that means? She felt through her 12 years from three, because you started in three in France, to 15, that she never thought her teachers wanted her to succeed. Isn't that awful? I don't know what people have said. Maybe your parents didn't say very good things about you. You know something? Your holy, wonderful Creator Father says that you're marvelous. He loves you. I don't know if you realize, he's so excited when you get up on Sunday morning and come to church. And he's even more excited during the week when you open your Bible and when you start to pray and when you start to get up and praise. We don't need, and we got a wonderful worship team here, but we don't need the worship team. We should be able to praise God every day. Yeah, people used to think I was crazy because I'd walk down the road singing and praying. Today, everyone does it because they have the headphones on. So sometimes I just put headphones on so they think that I'm listening to something and singing. I'm not. I'm just singing praises to God. My cup overflows. I'll give you just a few verses. Acts 13:18 in the New Living Translation. They spent 40 years walking in the desert, wandering in the desert. We've just spent 40 years in blessing in France. All the things people told us we couldn't do, we've done because God said it. When people said, you can't do that in France, you say, well, God's obviously not very intelligent because he told us to do it. Let's see who's right. And God has always been right. He'll always be right in your life. So Acts 13:18 says, he put up with them through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Nehemiah says, Nehemiah 9:21, for 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell and they were in disobedience. That's the mercy of God. But a whole generation died. They didn't go into the promised land. We need to get into our promised land. We need to go where God is calling to do. What has God called you to do? Have you said yes, Lord? Are you making steps in the right direction? Because the anointing comes, the help comes when we start moving in the direction God has given us. You have to agree with God. You have to live in the promised land and not die in the desert. I think you understand a little bit about desert here, don't you? Yeah. Attitude check. Philippians 2:14 says this. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Do everything without complaining and arguing. I have to work on verses like that because I was a little complainer and arguer before I got saved. And it's very easy to do what we used to do. And I have to remember, no, praising opens the door. I'm not complaining. Yeah. And I could argue with anybody about anything. I think this is going to be our last verse. Jeremiah 29:11. You know that verse? Oh, good. Let's live it. God says, for I know the plans I have for you. For me? Yes, for you, John, but for you. Would you like to turn to your neighbor and say, for you? God knows the plans he's made for you. He has plans for you. What are those plans? Those plans, says the Lord, they're plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the plans you have for me. Amen? We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. Every single one of you. And an ambassador lives in a country representing another country, and he doesn't live at the standard of the country he's living in. He lives at the standard of the country he's coming from. Yeah? We represent heaven. Let's represent heaven well. And an ambassador, he doesn't say what he thinks. He doesn't give his opinion. He says what his country of origin tells him to say. What is God telling you to say? In your situation, he's telling you to say peace. Some of you going into situations, you go back to work tomorrow maybe, and you need to speak peace. And you need to speak solutions. And you need to speak joy. You need to be the joy bringer where you work. You need to be the joy bringer in your quartier, your neighborhood. You know, we're called, Laura and I were called to go across the world, to go to a country where we didn't know the language. I spoke a little bit, very bad schoolboy French. Laura didn't speak at all. But we began winning God, people for the Lord. Laura in America and myself in England. Yeah, and then we came to study at Rhema. And while we were at Rhema, we were winning our workmates to the Lord, taking them to church with us. And God said, I can use those people. See, because a lot of people said, I'd like to be a missionary somewhere else. You have to be a missionary at home first. There are so many people. Any of you go walk? Any of you like walking? Do you walk in your neighborhoods? Could I encourage you to add something to your walk? Because it's really good. It's good to be out in the sun. It's good to get exercise. It's good to get fresh air. Pray for every house you go past. Lord, send laborers. Jesus gave that prayer in Matthew 9:38. Lord, send laborers. And perhaps you'll be able to talk to them. I don't know. It's not, we can say with Isaiah, here I am, send me. But we can also say, Lord, I bless these people. Perhaps no one's ever prayed for them. Someone say, why aren't people getting saved? Who's praying for them? Let's be the people that pray. And you can walk or you could cycle and pray for the people. And let's do that. We're ambassadors for Christ. I said I last verse. I'll give one more verse. Acts 1:8. You can never trust a preacher. He says, finally, three times, four times. Acts 1:8. God sent the Holy Spirit to make us witnesses. Yeah, are you a witness? Let's be a witness every day. Yes, what does it say? Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem. That's Chula Vista, if you live in Chula Vista. Yeah? In Jerusalem, that's California. In Judea, yeah? No, I said Jerusalem is Chula Vista. Judea, that's California. Samaria, that's United States of America. And then, and to the ends of the earth. What does that mean? Oh, to the ends of the earth. We got sent to France. We've been to Quebec. We've been to Haiti. We've been to French-speaking Africa. You know, we're kind of limited. We're only limited to the French-speaking world. There are 34 nations, 11 French territories. Sometimes God lets us go to other places. But if they don't speak French, very rarely speak in English. As you probably can tell, I'm trying to find my words. You need to be filled with the Spirit to be a witness, to be a blessing, to let that overflow flow. Amen? So Laura's going to come. Just before she comes, have you said yes to Jesus? I'd like to ask you all to stand up a minute, and we're going to make a prayer. And perhaps you've never said a prayer of salvation. I had never said it, and I needed help. Perhaps you're watching and you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. So as a church, we're all going to say this prayer. So pray with me. I come to you in Jesus' name. The Bible says, if I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I believe in my heart that Jesus paid for my sins on the cross, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I am now a child of God. Amen. Has anyone said that prayer for the first time? Would you like to lift your hand? Or did anybody pray that and you've just come back to the Lord? You've been away from the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. And maybe online, you just said that prayer for the first time. If you're online, please contact the church. They would like to help you grow in God. Someone will come and talk to you. Hallelujah, lady who lifted her hand. God has got good things for you. Hallelujah, the best is yet to come. You said you